time in Mithril Hall. He had not come back this way to the east, spending his days in the great Undercity, and even venturing to the Western Gate and to Keeper's Dale beyond, arguably the place of his greatest triumph. Keeper's Dale was heavily guarded now, with fortified positions and war machines all around the higher peaks, guarded against orcs, Brunner. Reginald Roundshield of Citadel Felbar had been told, for the troublesome creatures had become very active of late. Yet again. How strange it had been for Brunner to hear the discussions about him, questioning his own judgment as king that century before. When he had made peace with King Obuld Many-Arrows, back and forth went the arguments, and they sounded to Brunner much like the same debates he had heard and had been party to in the days of the treaty. Nothing had been resolved. The land had known relative peace, but to many of the current dwarfs of Mithril Hall it clearly seemed more the crouch of the tiger before the killing spring than any true and lasting alliance, partnership, or even tolerance between Mithril Hall and the orcs. And worse, they whispered, now the orcs had made inroads into the kingdoms all around their own land, and knew the defenses and, perhaps, how to exploit those defenses. Brunner's gaze locked on the podium, on the parchment spread atop it, secured by a heavy piece of clear crystal. He swallowed hard and inched up. He saw the signature, his signature, and the crude mark of King Obuld. "Did she lead me wrong, Elf?" he asked quietly, as if speaking to Drizzt, who had counseled him on this very important decision, who indeed had lobbied him strongly to sign the treaty.
"Ah, but I canna know," Brunner whispered.
"What's to know, then, eh?"
came a voice behind him, startling him, and all the more surprising because it was not accompanied by the light of a second torch. He turned around to see Ragged Dane, who had obviously followed him out here, secretly and stealthily.
"If this paper'll hold in these times," Brunner replied.
"Bah, that treaty," said the old warrior. "I remember when it was signed. Never did much like it."
"King Brunner was wrong, then."
"Hush your mouth, boy,"
Ragged Dane scolded.
"Ye don't be talking ill of the king of them whose hall you're walking about."
"It was a long time ago," Brunner replied.
Ragged Dane came up beside him and put his hand on the crystal mount, sliding his fingers slowly over the signatures of Brunner and Obuld.
"Aye, it was. But be sure that I'm remembering. And so's King Emerus Warcrown, don't ye doubt, particularly now when these new orcs are in a fight mood all across the Silver Marches."
"Are ye thinking it was wrong for King Brunner to sign the treaty?"
Ragged Dane didn't answer for a bit, but just stared at the parchment. Then he shrugged.
"Who can know? Meself was arguing against it, to be sure. Telled King Emerus that personally, though I was but a young fighter of little renown at the time."
"King Emerus stood here for the signing," Brunner said.
And he remembered well the look Emerus had given him before he had moved up to add his signature, an expression more of resignation than of antipathy.
"Aye, he did," said Ragged Dane. "Weren't his choice, mind ye."
"He would have preferred war."
"Most dwarves would have."
"But not King Brunner."
Brunner purposely said it in a way that could be construed as accusatory, to gauge Ragged Dane's expression. The old veteran merely shrugged and wore no such agreeing scowl.
"Alas for King Brunner, then. He weren't for finding any support for a war. Not from Silvery Moon, not from Sundabar."
He paused and took a deep breath. And Brunner knew well what was coming next.
"Not even from Felbar."
"King Emerus wouldn't stand with Mithril Hall?" Brunner asked, trying to feign surprise.
Ragged Dane offered another shrug.
"Without Sunderbar and Silvery Moon, we wouldn't have been doing much against them orc thousands," he said. "Tens of thousands, tens of thousands."
"So you don't blame Brunner?"
Ragged Dane paused again and looked at the treaty for a long while.
"If I've any anger, lad, know that it's for the human kingdoms of the Silver Marches, and them elves of Silvery Moon and the Moonwood. We could have put an army on the field that would have shaked the whole of the world. We could have chased that derned Obold back into his hole, ne'er to come out again.
I've heard the tales of what's now what, said Brunner. Might that we'll be doing just that in short order. Surprisingly this time, Ragged Dane offered another shrug, one halting and almost resigned. Brunner's eyes went wide. So ye've lost the love of the fight, ye old dog?
Bah, but if you say that again, I'll pitch ye into the gorge, don't ye doubt, said Ragged Dane.
Then what?
Ye heard the rumors of orcs stirring as surely as I have. Ye know them orcs are pushing for a fight.
Ragged Dane glanced all around, as if ensuring that they were truly alone.
King Conorad, he said, shaking his head.
A good dwarf, by all accounts, and son of a hero, King Beinak, said Brunner.
Aye, but with no reach,
Ragged Dane explained.
Not to his fault, but true nonetheless. When Brunner talked, the others of the Silver Marches listened. Proved in battle he was, and oh, beyond anything anyone now might know. Even King Emerus would no stand atop any pedestal higher than that one. King Conorad's a good dwarf, as ye say, and his people love him, don't ye doubt. But he ain't no King Brunner. Ain't no King Brunner nowhere, and if the marches ain't fightin' as one, the legions of many arrows'll run us all down.
Brunner felt proud and overwhelmed all at once. The fleeting moment of pride held him up, but only briefly, until the weight of the world descended upon his young and sturdy shoulders. He didn't know what to say, but knew what he wanted to say. He wanted to grab Ragged Dane by the collar and shout the truth into his face. Or was that the plan of the gods all along, Brunner suddenly wondered.
What do ye know?
Ragged Dane asked. The words jolted Brunner and made him aware that he was gasping for air under the weight of emotions.
What?
He stammered back.
What do ye know?
Nothing, Brunner answered. And indeed, he was in no position to answer that or any other question at that moment, his mind spinning with the possibilities. He considered his anger toward the gods, toward Moritan in particular, for allowing him to be so manipulated by Caddibri and Mialiki, for stealing the meaning and the reward of his life right out from under him. But then he thought of Dumathoin, god of secrets under the mountain. And it occurred to him that his step from Iruladun, though facilitated by Mialiki, might not have been for Mialiki at all. He looked again at the treaty, at his signature, his greatest